The Electronic Frontier Foundation pursues the long-term mission of educating the public, policymakers, and courts about the issues that arise when traditional expectations conflict with the new worlds created by computers and the Internet. The organization remains focused on civil liberties in cyberspace and continues to engage in litigation, advocacy, writing, public speaking, providing legal assistance, and maintaining an extensive archive of current and historical online civil liberties information. The Electronic Frontier Foundation website may be found at www.eff.org.
And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, where the time is 6 o'clock, straight up time once again for another edition of Off the Wall.
Thank you.
Very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, the 20th day of October 2009. And I think tonight our theme will probably be things that are and are not so. Yeah, you know, the truth and lies and the difference between the two things. One thing that is very true is that today is a fundraising show. We mentioned that last week. We've mentioned it a few times. And we will be soliciting your phone calls, and hopefully you'll find good cause to support us, to keep this radio station going. You know, I'm a little afraid because there's all these people in the other room. For some reason, they think I'm going to bring in a lot of calls. And, yeah, well, maybe that would be nice if that happened. Phone number is area code 631-632-9872. Which spells out 632-WUSB, area code 631. So, again, the number is 631-632-9872. We have all kinds of interesting packages in there that will be going into greater detail. But first, let's take a look at some of the things that are and are not so. Well, first, something that definitely is so. We want to congratulate the following countries: Switzerland, Slovakia, Argentina, and Honduras. They're the latest ones to qualify for the World Cup next year in South Africa. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be great. And, yeah, I'm not sure how many more there are left to qualify, but the number goes up every week, it seems. Now, to something that may or may not be true. This comes from a website that says, in 2011, Obama's coup will fail. I guess that kind of tells you if it's true or not, because obviously it's not 2011. But let's pretend it is. It is the year 2011. The United States has become saturated with suspicion and unrest. Since early 2010, President Barack Obama, President Felipe Calderon of Mexico, and Prime Minister Stephen Harper of Canada have been conducting private meetings with each other and various political heads of the UN. None of the meetings are open to the media, let alone the public. Americans, thoroughly disgusted with the socialistic programs that have been thrust upon them over the last few years, vote out 17 of the 19 Democrats in the Senate and 178 in Congress that were up for re-election. The secrecy of the president became an issue tacked onto the political platforms of candidates running for the Senate and Congress in the November 2010 elections. Americans, thoroughly disgusted. Wait a minute, I just read that. Why is it repeating itself? All right, well, I'm sorry about that. When asked for his opinion on this monumental power shift in favor of liberty-minded Republicans during the November elections, President Obama is quoted as saying the elections were ultimately inconsequential. He allowed the cryptic statement to stand alone and said nothing more on the subject until January's swearing-in ceremony. And then in January 2011, 2 days prior to the swearing-in of the new senators and congressmen, President Obama holds an emergency conference that interrupts the regular broadcasting of every station in the United States and is replayed on major news networks throughout the day. The news is horrifying. And the ramifications of what the president has said have a numbing effect on the public. Private ownership of firearms has been outlawed, and Obama has promised a new era of equality and peace. Unfortunately for Obama, Americans would not act like the sheep he had taken them for. Revolution begins. Americans retell the speech to each other, repeating Obama's flowery language and tired cliches. The swearing-in ceremonies are suspended indefinitely, and the current Congress is to remain in place until this historic transition is completed. The United States is a creation of racists and warmongers, Obama says to a stunned America, and is to be replaced by the North American Union. In the course of this very broadcast, Obama, with two simple pen strokes, signs the treaties into law. One dissolves the United States and its Constitution, and the other disarms what is left of the gun-owning United States citizenry, as part and parcel of a United Nations treaty to ban all firearms, which had already been signed into law by over 40 nations. The Congress of Rejected and Neglected Youth, CORNY, controls three counties near Washington, D.C., with reports of having at least 60,000 loyalists for Obama. The Federal Reserve has two counties under control. The Kong, also unaffectionately known by patriots as the American Politburo consists of former Democratic congressional leaders and control two counties. The AmeriCorps Civil Defense Forces control four counties. A group of Obama loyalists, mostly comprised of members of the Black Tigers and the Nation of Maasai, have a grip on three more counties. Patriot Revolution is exploding in every county with a rage unseen since the first American Revolution. Patriots from all over the United States are closing in on them. With the Joint Chiefs of Staff guaranteeing the nationwide free elections 60 days after Obama's capture, it seems America's second revolution is nearly at an end. Chaos ensues throughout the nation. The second American Revolution is in full swing by February of 2011, with lists posted by patriots, county by county, naming dozens of government employees and the bounties that can be fetched by their capture. After 7 weeks of fighting in every state, and with the refusal of most United States military branches to obey orders to fire upon American citizens, Obama's forces are slowly whittled away. The remnants of the Obama loyalists return to Virginia. After tens of thousands of their troops are killed, the International Service Union Empire, ISUE, has just 40,000 left, but still controls three full counties in the name of former President Barack Hussein Obama. Or so they think. The Congress of Rejected and Neglected Youth, as I mentioned, controls three counties near Washington, D.C., with reports of having at least 60,000 loyalists for Obama. I'm not sure why it keeps repeating itself, but it does. So what is this? This is a terrific game. This is Obama's coup. Play 2011, Obama's coup fails now and helps safeguard America's future. Yes, that's right. You can go to www.usofearth.com and find the game there. And that's what it is. It's a scenario. A scenario put out there by the far right helping to scare the crap out of everybody. 2011 Obama's coup fails is an action-packed, satire-filled war game. That's what that was, satire? Okay. That takes place in the not-so-distant future, right after the November 2010 elections, to be precise. It has been said. I love when people say it has been said, when they're the ones that probably said it in the first place. It has been said that America would never be destroyed by a foreign power. It does seem our biggest enemies are not from outside our borders. Could the scenario described above ever really happen? If current events keep transpiring as they are, then 2011 Obama's coup may in fact become a dark chapter in American history. Stay informed and visit the United States of Earth blog daily for the real facts taking place from the currently free media. Reality is far more scary and ominous than fiction. And for these folks, it's a lot more unattainable, too. Here's a quote from Thomas Jefferson. As our enemies have found, we can reason like men, so now let us show them we can fight like men also. And it just continues like that. But the thing that's really amazing about this whole escapade here, it's the organization. It's the fact that attached to this is a link to all of these different blogs. I'm just going to read you some excerpts from them just so you can see how the appearance is given out that there is such unanimous agreement on this dark threat facing us on many different fronts. Here's one. Is ABC joking? ABC News says, is Obama too nice to make tough decisions? Yeah. ABC News website includes the article, is Obama too nice to make tough decisions, by correspondent David Curley. The piece begins, with problems for the president in Afghanistan, health care and unemployment, some critics on both the left and right are asking, is the president essentially too nice to make the important decisions? Okay, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of one blog entry. You can tell that there's a lot of anger there, but you don't really see it. But, you know, if you click on the click more button, that you'll be able to read all about the horrible things that the media is now doing. Here's another one. Obama's website. Obama is the new and improved Jesus. President Obama is a son of kings and queens who ruled over the greatest civilizations in human history. The world waited a long time for the arrival of Obama. We did not always know what his name would be or what he would look like, but we knew a son of Africa would return to restore light to the world. I have no idea what this person is talking about, but it's right there on this page, and you click more to find out more. Obama's website said that. Yeah, right. The Obama way, eliminate competition of ideas. On September 8th, President Obama told ABC News, "Democrats and Republicans understand and are open to new ideas, that we're not being rigid and ideological about this thing, but we do intend to get something done this year. The idea that the Obama administration is open to new ideas and that they are not rigid or ideological is false on its face. The administration, in conjunction with Democrats in Congress, have worked to keep Republican-sponsored ideas and legislation off from the floor, of both the House and the Senate, and out of the headlines." Yeah, most fantasy is kept out of the headlines. "Ready to revolt. Oath Keepers pledge to prevent dictatorship in the United States." Oath Keepers pledges to prevent dictatorship in the United States. The group asks police and military to lay down arms in response to orders deemed unlawful. Depending on your perspective, the Oath Keepers are either strident defenders of liberty or dangerous peddlers of paranoia. In the age of town halls, talk radio, and tea parties, middle ground of opinion is hard to find. Launched in March by Las Vegas steward Rhodes, Oath Keepers bills itself as a nonpartisan group of current and retired law enforcement and military personnel who vow to fulfill their oaths to the Constitution. And click this button to find out more. It just, they go on and on. But it gives the impression that there's this unified front of all these people that are really, really worried and scared. And the result, when you go there, ostensibly to look at a video game, you find out that our country is really facing all these dire problems. And something must be done. And it's incredible, too, because I like to match these people up with the ones who are saying Obama hasn't done anything, you know, just to maybe reassure them a little bit. It's like, oh, my God, we're facing all these horrible things. Oh, no, he hasn't done anything. Oh, okay, never mind then. You know, we could sort of help each other out there. But, wow, yeah, it's all about getting out there, finding what your message is, tying it up in a nice, neat little package, and presenting it to the unsuspecting public. And hats off to the right wing for doing this, because they know how to do that effectively. And that's what makes me worry. They just might pull it off. Okay, more lies. Early this week, a lottery winner pulled up her stretch Hummer in front of a Burlington Coat Factory store near Columbus, Ohio. In an Oprah-esque share of largesse, she promised to buy every shopper in the store $500 worth of merchandise, but she turned out to be no fairy godmother. She wasn't even a real lottery winner. And when customers discovered the lie, what do you think they did? They took their frustration out on the store. They trashed it. The woman asked customers to tell their friends and family about her offer and said she would stay until the store closed. Store manager said she paid for roughly $5,000 in merchandise with a debit card before the card's limit was reached. She then announced to the store that she was returning to the bank to secure more cash, but by 3 p.m., police announced that the shopping spree was over and turned the crowds away. The store closed early so that workers could clean up. Some shoppers said they had carts filled with merchandise, and when they learned the merchandise would not be paid for, they trashed the store. What else could you possibly do, right? It's your God-given right to get something for free from a total stranger. Anyway, the woman's family later came forward to explain that she suffers from mental illness, which triggered both the Burlington incident and some false 911 calls. The woman has not yet been charged with any crimes related to this incident. And, you know, it's been the week of tall tales, hasn't it? Yeah. I was on Thursday, I just happened to get some kind of an alert on one of my devices saying that, hey, so there's a balloon loose in the sky and a little kid is on it and the whole world's watching. So I figured, why not? This sounds like fun. Not since the O.J. Chase have I witnessed something that could make a whole afternoon go by. And sure enough, it did make the whole afternoon go by. The whole country, the whole world, in fact, was watching this this crazy-looking balloon flying through the sky, thinking, hey, there might be a kid on there, and wondering how this is going to turn out. How is it going to land? What are they actually going to do to bring this thing down? Is it going to crash? Is it going to fall? It was something to watch, and then the thing finally does come down, and they tear it open, there's no kid inside, and hours go by, and eventually the kid just suddenly materializes inside the house, saying that he was afraid, and had been hiding. But then you have this this growing suspicion that the whole thing was concocted to raise publicity, which it certainly did. It certainly raised publicity, and it turns out that the parents have been involved with reality shows in the past and, in fact, have been trying to get a reality TV program together. But the real smoking gun was when the kid on national television said that they had done this for a show. Now, the parents say he misunderstood the question, but, you know, if you look at the moment when the kid actually says this, the mother starts shaking her head, and you can just tell by the reaction that, no, you're not supposed to say that. This is part of the story that you were supposed to keep your mouth shut. The thing that bugs me about this, though, and I don't think I have to go into more detail because I'm pretty sure, unlike real-world events, we all know the details of this story. I think that the way it's being portrayed by law enforcement is rather detrimental to the poor kid. I mean, think about this. This kid's 6 years old, you know, and he just said something by accident. He was supposed to lie, and he messed up, and he told the truth instead. Always a big mistake. And now everybody is saying that that was the moment. That was it. They never would have guessed. I've watched this press conference that the sheriff of whatever godforsaken place in Colorado that is was giving, and basically he was talking about how it wasn't until that moment on Larry King Live, guest hosted by Wolf Blitzer. Now, how does he have all that information for one thing? He was telling that to the reporters, saying what program it was. And who was guest hosting it? You know, it just seems to me like CNN might really have a lot to gain from this. He didn't even give out the channels that you could get CNN on locally, but he might as well have. Anyway, he said it was at that moment that we realized that there might be a possibility that they weren't telling the truth. Now, even if that is the case, think of the poor kid watching that at home with his parents and kids, kid brothers, being told that that was the moment, that he was the one that led to all the problems that were to follow, that he ostensibly could break up the family. Yeah, they could take away the kids. All because of him. You know, even if that's true, you can say, yeah, we had suspicions and they wouldn't have gotten away with it anyway, even if they would have. No one seems to be thinking of the kids. And I mean, everyone says they're thinking of the kids, but no one's really thinking of the kids. So anyway, what's going to happen to them? Who knows? It was a stupid thing to do, but sometimes you just have to realize people do stupid things. I'm seeing all kinds of suggestions by the public. Life imprisonment, being forced to give up their kids, being forced to give up their house. The only one I thought made any sense was one that probably can't be enforced, but a sentence of never being allowed on television, you know. That would be about the worst punishment they could possibly get. And it wouldn't be cruel, I don't think. Well, at least not from my perspective. All right. That was hasn't yet been proven if that's true or if that's false. But it was fun. It was an interesting way to spend a day, wasn't it? We all got entertained. We pay for entertainment, don't we? So why are we so angry about this? You know? Isn't it better than having some poor kid in a balloon or falling out of the balloon or whatnot? It was, it told us something about ourselves and how gullible we are. Okay, and on the gullibility theme that we have going tonight, I'd like to play you something. Actually, you might have just heard it on Democracy Now! Because I wasn't aware they were going to play it too. I really didn't think that was going to happen. This is something from our good friends over at the Yes Men. If you listened to Off the Hook last week on the other station, they were our guests. They were on for the entire hour, and we were just talking about all kinds of media gags that these guys had pulled off. I'd love to have them on this week so that we could talk about the whole Balloon Boy thing. I'm sure they have all kinds of interesting takes on that. But what they do is a bit more serious. They perform gags that that are meant to wake people up, meant to get people thinking. For instance, they showed up at a conference in Australia to announce that the World Trade Organization was folding because they didn't have a grasp on the problems facing the Earth, and they needed some time to rethink their policy and get it right so that they actually represented the common people of the world instead of just the rich interests. They actually said this as representatives of the World Trade Organization because they fooled somebody into thinking that's who they were. And it worked like a charm. They got media coverage, people in the audience applauded them for their courage. And of course, the real World Trade Organization had to come out later and say it wasn't true. But it got people thinking. And, you know, that's pretty much the theme of what all of us here at the radio station are involved in, what so many of us are involved in other parts of our lives, getting people to think, waking people up, and using all kinds of strange tactics to do this. I'll read you a quick story from actually the New York Post. Yeah, that came out a couple weeks ago. Called No Fire Without Smoke. The Obama administration is spending $2.4 billion on clean coal carbon capture and storage projects. But the Post has learned that the coal industry's claim about clean coal technologies are misleading. Their claims are misleading. Experts believe it is indeed possible to capture some of the carbon produced by coal-burning plants, but it's very expensive, especially when you factor in the infrastructure to transport the carbon to storage sites and pump it underground. Also, a volatile gas will most likely not stay underground forever. It might even escape catastrophically, as natural CO2 did in Cameroon in 1986, killing 1,746 people. Experts note that burning coal amounts to 40% of mankind's CO2 emissions. I'm sorry, my phone's ringing. Okay, sorry. I usually put this on silent, and I don't get a single call. And, of course, I forgot today. I'm just going to turn it off. There. Sorry about that. Yes, a volatile gas will most likely not stay underground forever. We read that already. Experts note that burning coal amounts to 40% of mankind's CO2 emissions, and extraction of coal is extremely damaging to the environment. This has led many of them to suggest that energy subsidies would be better spent on solar, wind, and other renewable energy sources that would solve the problems rather than bury a small part of it. Can you believe this? The New York Post! New York Post dated September 21st, 2009, saying this. And to top that, some editorials. Keeping our word. Many of us were raised with that old-fashioned conservative idea that our word was our bond. It's the kind of thing that liberals will never understand, and it's what made America great. Let other countries weasel out of treaties, like the old Soviet Union constantly did. They got the reputation they deserved and collapsed on their own rotten foundation. Today it turns out that our politicians have sold us down the same river the Soviet Union sank in. 17 years ago, 154 nations signed the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. They included the USA. We all agreed to cut down on greenhouse gas emissions because we all knew, even back then, that climate change was endangering the whole world's future. Today, almost 20 years later, the U.S. is the one country that's done the single worst job in the world of living up to that contract. We have the highest per capita emissions of any country in the world so far, or by far, rather, and to date, we have refused to take the necessary action to reduce them. We've dishonored our word, and we've dishonored all the men and women who died to make our country what it is. In the America we all knew and loved, that was the worst thing you could possibly do. But all is not lost. There's still time to force our government to shape up, to pay off its debts, live up to its contracts, and restore its sacred honor. The due date is December 7th, and the place is UN Climate Change Conference in Copenhagen, Denmark. If the Senate can sign a strong climate bill by that date, and the President can sign a strong international treaty as a result, then America can shine once again. And once more, we can be as a light unto the nations. The New York Post. This copy of the New York Post was handed out for free to people all throughout New York City on September 21st. Monday, September 21st, at the crack of dawn, all kinds of commuters were coming out of Penn Station being handed free copies of the Post. Headline in the front, "We're screwed. What you're not being told. Official city report predicts massive climate catastrophes, public health disasters." Well, as many of you probably suspect by now, it was not really the New York Post, but an amazing facsimile, something that looks just like it. And this was put out by our good friends, the Yes Men. This is what they do. They fool people. They come out with fake newspapers, give fake press conferences, go to real conferences as fake people, appear on the BBC. They fool the BBC. So you know they got to be good. And, as part of our fundraiser today, we are offering some special deals involving Yes Men material. We offered this last week on Off the Hook, and a lot of people were angry that they missed out on it because they listened to the show later. We've notified people that we're offering this for this particular show, and only this particular show, between 6 and 7 tonight on WUSB. If you call, area code 631-632-9872, and pledge, if you pledge $75, you'll get two autographed copies, autographed by the Yes Men themselves, of this fake New York Post, which is no longer available. It's a collector's item now. You'll get two of those, and you'll also get two copies of their fake New York Times, which came out on Saturday, July 4th, 2009. Actually, I'm not sure. Did it really come out on July 4th? Well, it came out in 2009, earlier in 2009. And that was really a masterpiece. The New York Times, I mean, it's not easy to put out the New York Times and make it look convincing. So, okay, two copies of the collector's edition fake New York Times autographed, two copies of the fake New York Post from the Yes Men, in addition to WUSB paraphernalia for a pledge of $75, 631-632-9872. Is the phone number. Now, if you want to go one step beyond that and pledge $125, you'll get all four of these newspapers, plus a special collector's item Yes Men book and a Yes Men comic book. And all of these things are signed and autographed. But you have to call now, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. We have something like five or six people in the room and no calls coming in. Yeah, so that's not going to be a good thing. Not for me, anyway. Now, I know a lot of people want these items. A lot of people want to hear these people speak, and they want to see them succeed. There's no better way to do that, to show your support, than to support the radio stations that talk about this kind of thing. We just had a program on Democracy Now! Before this, where we devoted some time to this. We're going to play something that the Yes Men did yesterday, to show you that they're still out there, still causing problems for the status quo. But we have to know that there are people out there paying attention, that it matters. 631-632-9872. We have one call on the line. Okay, that's great. I want to thank that person for calling in. But we have a bunch of other people looking rather sullen at not picking up the phone. Someone got that phone really quick. So there are other phone lines. We have a whole lot of phone lines. 631-632-9872. This is a pretty good deal. I think this is something that you would regret not having. I know a lot of people regretted not getting the fake papers when they came out. And now here's your opportunity to get not only one, but two of each. You can give one as a gift. I mean, this is a great gift to give. You don't have to even shop for somebody this holiday season. You just hand them one of these newspapers, and that is something that they will hold forever. So think about it. You're getting four of these things. Four of these things for a pledge of $75. 631-632-9872. Two calls on the line. That's good. Now, we still have a couple people in there. Didn't move quite fast enough to grab that phone. What happens is people dive over the table to get the phone, and sometimes heads knock together, words are said. You know how it goes. So we can avoid all that by having more phones light up. 631-632-9872. Again, a pledge of $75 gets you the fake New York Post. The fake New York Post. I say it twice because you get two copies of it. And the fake New York Times, times two. All right, you get four newspapers all together. Now, this fake New York Times is, 14 pages, but full size. And the headline on the New York Times, Iraq War Ends. This did not come out in July. This came out 6 months earlier. They described this on Off the Hook last week. I think it was 6 months. A number of months ahead of when the Iraq War was supposed to be over. And they printed this newspaper saying, what would life be like if everything simply worked out? And let's look at some of these headlines. Treasury announces true cost tax plan. Yes, the long-awaited true cost plan, which requires product prices to reflect the cost of society, has been signed into law. Beginning next month, throwaway items like plastic water bottles and other items which are wasteful or damaging to the environment will be heavily taxed, as in many developed countries. Steep taxes will also apply to large cars and gasoline. And you know, these are full stories. They continue. It continues on page A10, and it's incredible how thought out this is. Maximum wage law succeeds. Salary caps will help stabilize economy. Here's another story. Nation sets its sights on building sane economy. True cost tax, salary caps, trust-busting top list. This is just the front page. Troops to return home immediately from the Iraq War. Ex-secretary apologizes for WMD scare. 300,000 troops never faced risk of instant obliteration. Nationalized oil to fund climate change efforts. It just goes on and on. It's incredible. And it can be yours. This copy of the New York Times, this fake copy of the New York Times put up by the Yes Men, 631-632-9872. Not one copy, but two, and two copies of the fake New York Post on top of that for a pledge of $75. Again, for a pledge of $125, you'll get all of that plus the Yes Men book and the Yes Men comic book, also autographed. And in addition, you'll get WUSB paraphernalia, which you can discuss with our pledge takers in there, our volunteers that have taken time out of their busy days to come down to WUSB and answer phones. And there's no better way to spend your day, especially if it's as bad as everyone's saying it is out there. 631-632-9872. We've had about three calls. I'd like to just get one more call, and then we'll play the Yes Men, what they did yesterday, just so you can see that these guys are for real. They're really for real. Such an inspiration. There's a real link between the computer hacker world and the world of mischief that these guys are engaged in, and also the world of social consciousness, where you wake people up and get people to talk about serious things. It's all linked together at the Hope Conferences, and these guys have been to the Hope Conferences. We talk about all of this, and we share ideas, we inspire each other, we learn. And that's what you get out of a radio station like WUSB. Over the years, we've played all kinds of things, we've talked about all kinds of issues, and we want to continue to do that for a long, long time. But you can't just run a radio station. You notice that you're not running a radio station? Because it's hard. Because it takes a lot of coordination. You can't just do what you want to do. It takes a lot of people getting together and sharing their efforts. And right now we're asking you to share with us by calling and pledging. It just takes a few people. A few people pledging a little bit. You may say, what does my pledging $75 accomplish? It's such a small amount in the bigger scheme of things. And yes, you're right, it is, although it probably isn't small to you. But you add that 75 up with another 75, all of a sudden you're in the triple digits, you're at 150. And you do that a couple of times, and you're flirting with $1,000. And all of a sudden, it's not small anymore. All of a sudden, you can actually do something really significant. You can really make the place better, make things work better. That's what it's all about. 631-632-9872. Can we get that one more phone call to come in? I don't mean just make the phone light up. I know that trick. I'm not going to fall for that again. No. Give us a call. Make a pledge. We take Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express, all of that. Or you can send us a check, whatever you prefer. 631-632-9872. Even if we weren't offering any of these amazing things, and they really are amazing things, I think just calling up and pledging whatever you can afford to keep the place going would be a great gesture. Now, we broadcast to Suffolk County here in Long Island and in New York, but we also broadcast on the Internet. So I know there are a lot of people out there in other parts of the world that listen to this radio station as well. And you're not off the hook either just by doing that. No, no, no. We all have to pitch in and help out however we can if we get something out of this place. Because without it, we'd be all the weaker. All right, we're still waiting for that call to come in. It's hard to believe that so many people complained that they couldn't get this material after we went off the air last week. And here we are offering it just for another 20 minutes. And I know that we're going to get the same complaints again, maybe from the same people. We did everything we could to notify people. We sent out bulletins. We talked to the major media. Yeah, they're not going to help us. We tried to get the word out. We're trying to help out here. 631-632-9872. Finn is here. Finn, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Emmanuel?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right.
We've got a couple of calls. We'd like some more.
Up to the guest microphone there. Let's see if it's working today.
There we go.
I'll stick it to that microphone.
We got a couple of calls. We'd like some more.
I want to hear the word several.
Several is a nice word.
I know it's a big word, but several.
I don't know how much several actually is, but it means the phone should be busy.
Phones should be busy. I mean, I see people in there not with phones attached to their heads.
Exactly.
And that makes me sad.
I know.
We have one call on the line now. That's good. But I know there's more people out there. We want to thank Chris from Louisville,
Kentucky.
And Anthony from Miller Place.
Right. Very nice guys and made some nice pledges and are getting some nice premiums.
Yeah, very nice. Have you seen this? You want to take a look at the fake New York Post there?
I have, yes.
Yeah. Was this handed to you at some point?
I have seen it.
Uh-huh.
We're screwed is what it says. Can we say that on the air?
Well, I said it already, so yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's a double whammy.
All right, you look at the Post, I'll look at the Times.
Okay.
And they even have ads in here, too. Let's see, GM. Here's a GM ad in the New York Times. We did it first. Now we're bringing it back. Back in 1996, we developed an electric car called the EV1. People loved it and wanted to buy it, but changes in legislation meant it made no sense in our business model, and 3 years later, it was gone. Today, changes in legislation have made the return of the EV1 possible. It was the best back then, and it's the best today. Of course, GM didn't do this. They didn't make this car again, but by putting this ad in there, it makes it seem like they're real schmucks for not doing it. And they have to say, no, we're not doing this, and this is why we're not doing this. This is why we're putting profit ahead of the environment.
And that's exactly the case. I remember when the EV1 did come out, and it was kind of exciting in the news at the time. And naturally, because it was not financially viable for companies not to make huge profits, mainly oil companies, that certainly went the way.
Now, here's an ad for HSBC Bank, the world's local bank. Three pictures of Obama. Epic-making, pivotal, squandered. And some text right below that saying, the more we look at the world, the more we understand that some things really matter. Not only our choice of president, but how we make sure that he, like all our elected officials, does what we elected him to do. It's not over yet. HSBC, the world's local bank. I love it. This is genius. Of course, you know, there are all these people out there that want them locked up and say that they're causing all kinds of problems and copyright issues and fooling people and things like that. I say bring it on. I mean, we need more things like this. We absolutely have to wake people up and mix it up with them. And, you know, your call to us is a vote for more of that because these guys are on the same page as us. And we like to think we're on the same page as our listeners, and there's just so much to share and to do, and so much mischief to make. 631-632-9872. Let's bring in one more call, Finn, and then we'll go to the Yes Men excerpt.
Great.
You're going to bring the call in.
Please, please, please give us a call right now. 631-632-WUSB. 631-632-WUSB gets you right in here. You can get these fantastic, cool papers. And other stuff. We have tons of WUSB swag of all kinds, and it's just like CDs, tons and tons and tons of stuff.
Yeah, you don't have to get this. You can get something else. But
or even you can also take nothing.
You could take nothing if you want, and we thank you for that.
And then we'll spend all of your money.
That's right. Might I point out that those of you who call in and pledge the 125 automatically become members of the 90.1 Club as well.
Correct.
And,
as a matter of fact, we just had Anthony call and do that.
Yeah, and that means that you get additional things, so things I have not mentioned, things like T-shirts and hats and various things like that our volunteers know about. And it's just, it would take too long. There are so many things we're giving away that it would take too long to list them all. So please just call 631-632-9872. Show your support. Make this place survive, because without it, you just hear more NPR or religion or something in its place.
Right, and you know, the more stuff you hear, stuff here that you know is the truth, you know is not what you hear elsewhere in corporate radio. This is, we're free thinkers here. Nobody comes in and tells Emmanuel, wait, you can't say that. You know,
that's
nothing
true.
Like that happens. We're expressing what you guys are thinking.
They say you shouldn't have said that after I say it.
That's true.
But they don't tell me not to say things before I say it.
Give us a call right now.
631-632.
WUSB.
All right. Now we're going to play the Yes Men excerpt. This happened yesterday. These guys are so active. It's amazing. They went down to Washington, D.C., and they actually got a room with the National Press Club. I'm not sure how they pulled this off. They explained it on Off the Hook last week that they just – it's so simple just to fool people sometimes. I'm sure the story here is equally insane. And they basically gave a press conference – under the name of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who I actually hadn't been paying any attention to. Now they're on the radar. Everyone's talking about them. But it turns out somebody from the real U.S. Chamber of Commerce came into the room and challenged them. And what they did was they sort of turned it around and started challenging him. And eventually, in the end, they kind of, you know, admit what they were doing. But it got people thinking, got people talking, and it's just it's a blast to listen to. So let's take a listen to this excerpt. 631-632-9872. Please call and show your support. Get the fake newspapers by the Yes Men. Get the Yes Men book and the comic book and all kinds of WUSB things. 631-632-WUSB. Here's the Yes Men.
Rachel Snyder, Express News. You said you no longer support the false climate solutions like carbon capture and sequestration. So you think this is something your members can get behind? There have been lots of members of the chamber have been touting clean coal as one of the main solutions that we need for climate change. So you think your members can stand behind that?
We do feel that the subsidies for clean coal that have been given by this administration are completely misplaced. And if the same amount were applied to solid, ingenious solar technologies that we already have, we would see a dramatic improvement over the long term and the short term, in fact. And that clean coal is a technology that has not only not been proven, it basically doesn't exist. And it's just obvious we have to put our money, it's a sane business decision, we have to put our money where the proof is.
Okay, this is I'm Eric Wolfslagel. I'm with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. This is not an official U.S. Chamber of Commerce event, so I don't know what pretenses you're here. I know some of you in the press world, but this is a fraudulent press activity and a stunt.
Who are you,
so
really, sir?
If you have any questions, you're welcome to direct them to me, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Who are you, really, sir?
And do you have a business card? Are you with the U.S. Chamber?
I do. We can discuss afterwards.
Okay. Can I see your business card?
Can I see yours?
Are you here representing the U.S. Chamber of Commerce?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, I work there, and you do not look familiar to me at all.
Could I see your business card? Could I see your business card?
Stunt?
Are you interrupting us?
Yes, I am. This guy does not represent the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Can we finish
the interview? No. This is not an official Chamber of Commerce. This is not...
I'm on a deadline.
Yeah, got it. So they're misrepresenting the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Sir,
if anyone has any questions or wants to talk to the real Chamber of Commerce, they can direct. You can direct your questions to me.
So are you an activist?
What's your position?
If you would like to have a press conference, you can have your own press conference,
sir. What is your position?
But you can't come in here and barge in and interrupt our press conference.
What is your position?
I don't know what... Sorry?
What is your position at the Chamber of Commerce?
I just spoke my position.
What is your title and your official title at the U.S. Chamber?
I'm the assistant to Mr. Donahue.
Okay. This guy is a fraud. He's lying. This is, you know, a stunt that I've never seen before.
I think this is a stunt.
Does this mean that the Chamber of Commerce will not endorse, it is not acknowledging the climate change?
Whatever this gentleman here said to you today is irrelevant, it's not factual, this is a fraudulent press conference, okay? He's misrepresenting the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
So what is the position then? It is not changed, that it is going to continue to be that there is no climate change, is that correct?
I'm here to tell you that this is not a formal press conference by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
We did
hold a press conference last week with President Donahue of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
If you'd like to get our position.
No,
I'm with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Do you have that?
Yeah, I do. So if you'd like to actually talk to the legitimate Chamber of Commerce, I've got my business cards outside. This gentleman, I will assure you, does not have any business cards, and he's not legitimate.
So, sir, is the position of the Chamber of Commerce then that there is no, that climate change does not exist?
So, actually, this sign-in sheet here.
I'm sorry. We rented this room.
Yes.
You're going to have to refund us.
Fraudulently.
Also,
fraudulently.
You know,
under fraudulent. It's,
sir,
fraud. It's illegal.
Sir,
what
I don't know
doing,
who you are.
What you're doing is illegal.
You're going to have to refund us. This is very embarrassing for you.
Okay. Anyone else want my business card?
Yes.
Come on outside, please.
Would you support climate legislation?
Thank you. There you are.
Thanks.
Who are you?
I'm Kate Shepard.
With?
Mother Jones. There you are.
Who are you with?
I'm with the EMEA Daily.
Who?
EMEA Daily.
Yes, got it.
I'm here. I'm Dino Ferreira, for the assistant to President
Obama. Is there any more behind me you have?
Let's see. Do you have my ID?
No, it's our interns. We don't bring it with us.
Yeah, we kind of leave it wherever we...
Sir, who are you really? I actually cover the chamber. I know you don't work for the chamber. Who are you?
Well, who am I really?
Yes. What are you doing here? What is this event about?
This event is about what the only sane thing for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to do, obviously. There is no way that a government body or a body with any public responsibility can have the stance that the chamber has had until now. The statements of late that the chamber has made in regard to climate science are frankly embarrassing for those of us who truly represent it. And... unacceptable. And it's very obviously time for a change.
Right, but you came in here this morning saying you're with the Chamber of Commerce and you're not. Who are you?
Well, I represent the position that the Chamber of Commerce must take and the inevitable position that that it must take.
And that was what happened yesterday in Washington, D.C., the antics of the Yes Men, pretending they're from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and being challenged by somebody who really was from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and apparently could not see the humor or significance of what they were saying. But the thing is, they got press. They got the word out. They got people talking about climate change, which is an important thing to do and more than most of us have accomplished. Please show your support for this radio station, which has brought you this information as well as so many other bits of information over the years, by calling 631-632-9872. Those of you pledging $75 will get two copies of the fake New York Post that was put out a couple of weeks ago by the Yes Men, two autographed copies of that. In addition, you'll get two autographed copies of the fake New York Post put out just under a year ago. I'm sorry, fake New York Times put out just under a year ago. So you get two copies of the fake New York Post, two copies of the fake New York Times, and all that for a pledge of $75, plus WUSB t-shirts and hats and various other things that you'll get for that amount of money. And for a pledge of $125, you'll get the four newspapers, the four autographed newspapers, plus an autographed Yes Men book and an autographed Yes Men comic book. Here's an excerpt from the New York Post. And again, that phone number 631-632-9872. Would be nice to see a flurry of calls before we leave in a few minutes. And again, this will not be offered after tonight. So no matter how much gnashing of teeth and crying and stamping, you're not going to get it after tonight. Not through this. Not through us. 631-632-9872. Here's a piece that appeared on the Post Opinion page called What If I'm Wrong? By Colin Beavan. I'm worried about climate change, so much that I figured out how to lead an emissions-free life. And I spend all my time saying, we as a society should do the same thing. But what if I'm wrong? What if we go to all the trouble and expense of reducing our CO2 emissions, only to discover there never was a climate change problem? Well, first, I'd praise God there's no catastrophe to contend with. Then, since many of the measures needed to deal with climate change will have positive benefits, I would think, I'm glad we learned to rely less on foreign oil or on the energy company. I'm glad our lives are more secure and independent. I'm glad we created 5 million or more new energy-efficient and renewable energy jobs in the U.S. I'm glad we learned to save billions through more efficient energy use. I'm glad children with asthma can breathe, now that the air isn't full of toxins from exhaust pipes and smokestacks. I'm glad we created good public transport so that families can save money on cars. I'm glad we replaced suburbs with villages with their strong community bonds. I'm glad we developed local, healthier food systems and got off the work more to spend more treadmill. In short, I'm glad we embraced the opportunities presented by climate change to improve our society the way we should have anyway. And now, to turn the question back on those who say climate change isn't real or isn't a serious problem, what if I'm right? Yeah. So while this is all fun and games, some serious messages are getting out there and getting into the hands of people who ordinarily would never see them. And that is what social activism is all about, and that's what these guys are so successful at doing. And that's why calling in supporting the station is a vote for this kind of thing. 631-632-9872, your last chance. $75 pledge will get you all four of the newspapers, actually two copies of each, two copies of the Post, two copies of the Times, autographed by the Yes Men. Pledge of $125 gets you all of that, plus the book and the comic book, in addition to all the WUSB paraphernalia you'll get as our way of saying thanks for supporting this place. 631-632-9872. You know, last week I was talking about archiving old cassette tapes, really old cassette tapes, things from the 1970s, things from my childhood. And in fact, some of them I really have to go through all this trouble to get to work in any sense. And one I had to hold with a screwdriver to get it to simply move and stand in the same position for 45 minutes, which was really rather painful. But while going through all this, I come across all kinds of historical moments in my life. And right when one historical moment has ended, namely graduating from high school, there's a bit of a blank part on a tape. This tape I've been using to record my friends and various key moments of my life. And what do you think I heard on that tape from 1977? Take a listen.
This is an equipment test of radio WUSB Stony Brook, transmitting on an assigned carrier frequency of 90.1 megahertz stereo FM. This transmission is only for equipment test purposes.
Yeah. And then, as you can hear, the transmitter went off the air. So while I was growing up in Stony Brook, graduating from high school, this place was suddenly starting to come alive. The FM version of WUSB was coming online. And I was able to capture it. I was able to find this place before I even knew that I'd get involved in it. So it's incredible to me how all these moments in history exist. And you may not recognize them. You may not realize that, hey, this is going to be significant in my life. That's the voice of Frank Berger, chief engineer. I had not met him. Would not meet him for months afterwards. But very familiar voice now. And just this sound, I don't think we have recordings of this anywhere. It's just something that some kid sitting at home was doing on his FM radio, just recording a strange new radio station that was local. And it's a piece of history. Help preserve that piece of history. Call us, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Where dead air is not a sin.
This is an equipment test of radio WUSB Stony Brook, transmitting on an assigned carrier frequency of 90.1 megahertz stereo FM. This transmission is only for equipment test purposes.
And if anyone can identify this music, I'd appreciate it. There will be music. And then the tape ran out. So that pretty much was a bit of history there that I'd managed to capture. Didn't even realize that I had this. Way back from 1977, June 1977, right before the station came on the air, June 27, 1977, was our birthday here at WUSB. We're going to get more into this probably next week with some more history, maybe from 1977. 631-632-9872. Please keep those phones ringing. We'll see you next week. Good night.